From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama is praising financial reform legislation approved in the House today. The bill, approved by a vote of 223 to 202, would change the way the country's financial institutions are regulated. It would also strip the Federal Reserve of some of its consumer protection powers, giving them to a new agency. John Coffey is a professor who teaches securities law at Columbia. He says the bill is the broadest financial reform measure since the Great Depression.
This is the most sweeping legislation for financial regulation that we've seen in our lifetime. It's at least 1,200. I think it's 1,229 pages. And, of course, this is just the beginning, because all this will go over to the Senate, which has distinctly different views on a number of issues.
One of the House bill's main provisions would give the government expanded powers to set up a process to dismantle failed financial firms. The Senate is not likely to act on its version of the bill till early next year. An al-Qaeda operative killed in a Predator drone attack in western Pakistan this week may have been one of the group's top operations officers, NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports.
Two sources familiar with the case tell NPR that they believe the senior al-Qaeda operative killed in a drone attack in Pakistan earlier this week is Saleh al-Samali. Al-Samali is one of al-Qaeda's top propagandists. He rose through the group's ranks and had become an operations planner for them. The sources said that officials are awaiting DNA proof that it was al-Samali who was hit in the attack. Al-Samali is considered one of al-Qaeda's senior leaders. He's thought to be a key contact for jihadists operating in the U.S. and Europe. He has ties to a Somali militia group called al-Shabaab. If the DNA test bears out their suspicions, it would appear the U.S. drone attacks in Pakistan have been very effective. A top Taliban leader was killed by a drone this summer. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
The New York Times is reporting the controversial private security firm Blackwater USA took part in secret CIA and special operations raids against suspected insurgents in Iraq and Afghanistan several years ago. NPR's Tom Bowman reports.
The Times says the snatch-and-grab raids took place between 2004 and 2006 and raises legal questions about private contractors taking part in sensitive U.S. government operations. A spokesman for Blackwater, now renamed Z Services, disputed there was any contract for secret raids. A U.S. military officer tells NPR the company does have contracts regarding U.S. government personnel overseas. CIA Director Leon Panetta already has ordered a review to make sure that's the only work the company performs. Blackwater lost a State Department security contract after charges its personnel were using too much force. Among the incidents, a September 2007 shooting in Baghdad by five company security guards that left 17 civilians dead. Tom Bowman, NPR News, The Pentagon.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 65 points. This is NPR. Iranian government supporters took to the streets of Tehran today in opposition to a student protest, which was held earlier this week. Thousands of backers of Iran's clerical leadership turned out there and in a number of other Iranian cities denouncing the student protesters, some of whom burned pictures of the country's supreme leader on university campuses. In an unrelated development, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said today he expects the international community to impose additional sanctions against Iran over its disputed nuclear program. New study by the Pew Hispanic Center shows a mixed picture of success and problems for young U.S. Latinos, one of the nation's fastest-growing group of citizens. More from NPR's Carrie Kahn.
Hispanic youth between the age of 16 and 24 drop out of high school at rates far higher than their white and black counterparts. But the Pew Hispanic Center found that the dropout rate improves dramatically for second-generation Hispanics born in the U.S. Their rates are roughly the same as that of youth of all races. U.S.-born Hispanic youth also did better in economic terms, according to the Pew study. Nearly a third of all young Hispanic immigrants live below the poverty line, but that rate improves among Hispanic youth born in the U.S. While much in the study shows a better future for assimilating Hispanic youth, there are disturbing findings, too. Those born in the U.S. were twice as likely as their immigrant counterparts to have been exposed to a gang, to have carried a weapon in the past year, and to have been in prison. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
Businesses boosted their inventories in October, showing some sign that consumers may start be spending again and that the worst of the economic downturn could be over. 0.2% increase in inventories reported by the Commerce Department comes as sales also rose. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.